Greetings of joy and peace to each one of you. We're thankful to be here. It's been a joy to sit under and be instructed, inspired already. Thank you for that opening, Brother Adam. Turning our minds towards the law of the Lord, taking a heed according to His way, how David valued the Word of God and the protection from sin that it gives, and the teachable heart that's there, and not to forget His Word, so as I will delight in the things of God. You mentioned diligence, and we'll get to that later in the message here, but we also have that word. It's an interesting word there, diligence. Thank you, Milton, for that children's lesson. It's always a good reflection of our own heart, as you indicated, towards people. Just a reflection on last Wednesday evening. We read those verses in Revelations describing heaven, or describing what John saw, the New Jerusalem there. And with all its glory, with all its beauty, named some stones there in the foundation and the walls and the gates thereof. But it just struck me here this morning, singing the Sands of Time. Again, you're seeing all that glory there, all that beauty. And then the last line that we sung, the last phrase that we sung in the Sands of Time are, "The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land." I trust that's so in our hearts. So again, realizing, referencing a request coming for teaching on the home / child raising. So we are trying to do that. And again, you know, our story is not written. And it makes us tremble a bit, knowing others who have done the same thing, and, you know, this, something happened, child left home. The enemy hates family. And he hates the one that even speaks on the home. And so it makes me tremble. We have needs, you all know that. But still we want to be faithful and try to communicate some things that we have found helpful and a blessing on this subject. Did we do it? All right? Or are we doing it all right? No. We've had so many failures. But we have a vision that we keep coming back to. The title of these few thoughts that I have this morning is Parenting Young Children. And I would parenthesize that in up to the 4 or 5 year old age. 0 to 5 years old. So parenting young children. Although we are now past that stage, the 0 to 5 years old, we are still in the middle of raising a family for God, so let us learn together. There's a number of children up here, and a lot of those were probably over five. There might have been some 5 and under year olds there. But when you look out among, there's a lot of babies still coming up, and we're thankful for that. It's a blessing. When we think of that next generation, and we have opportunity as parents to influence that next generation rising up, the church of tomorrow that will rise up, we have opportunity to influence that. And I do carry a burden for the family unit. We have enjoyed family life together. We have our own, quote, fun times. We've had challenging times. But making good memories, you know, we're wading through difficult times, ministering through teen years, walking through childhood fears, all the way to discussing adult real life things. It's been a blessing. But in it all, may we never lose sight of the goal that we have in all this, the purpose and the reason for it. A vision even beyond just our children, as we mentioned in some of the last messages. And just a bit of a review. We have had, just a review, reminder, we've had 2 other messages to try to lead us up to this one. And we may have another one after this one. We'll see how it all goes. But the first one was, the title was, The Glory and the Making of a Godly Home. And in that, there's a few things we looked at. God's plan for marriage / home. His desire for a people that would worship and glorify Him. And under that, God said, let us make man our own image. He gave us power to choose and to have reason and intellect. He created male and female, and in that way to fill the earth. He also created us as social beings, finding companionship and fellowship and relationship to be fruitful and multiply. Also, we looked at, in that message, God's order in marriage and home, God's pattern for the home. Husbands are called to lead out. It is for life to be taken seriously. Then I looked at some things the home is. A primary place of interaction, instruction and learning, shelter and protection, love and care, place of purity, a place of keeping and transmitting faith. The second message we looked at, establishing a vision for a godly home. What is a vision? We looked at that, defining it, and pointing out that we can have a vision for different things. Also, when to establish a vision, and then how long should a vision last? It should last way beyond my lifetime. It should reach unto the children's children to raise up and serve their generation. We also looked at specifically calling us to have a vision for a godly home, a family that glorifies God. How it functions in a church and brotherhood setting. What kind of material may be in the home. Time spent with doing what. And then also relationship building with our family. So with that brings us to today. And we'll just begin with a word of prayer. Here, can we stand for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we're here before you, before this congregation. Lord, we are blessed to be gathered here. We're standing in awe at your goodness towards us, and we're blessed to be here, understanding our needs in our own hearts, understanding that we have room to grow in our own lives and we too must be ministered to in this way. Father, we too pray for us as fathers here, us as mothers, husbands and wives, Lord, that we get a grasp of vision for our children, that we would raise up a godly seed. There's purpose, there's vision, there's desire that the kingdom of God would advance here in this our age, for generations to come, that we would get a vision that our energies and our labors would affect generations following, souls of men. We raise up children that grasp a hold of the lateness of the hour, and we too live out and lead out in faith. That there would be a loving, vibrant faith here that displays the glory and the power of God by and through our families, O God. So teach us your ways. Teach us more specifically the things that you want us to have and learn when it comes to these dear little ones that sit around our table. Bless our time together as we seek this subject together here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you understand, you all know that the home, speaking on the home, it's hard to cover everything or hit every subject or every topic, every question that may be had. And I don't have all the answers here, by no means. We have just a little bit of experience that we've had in our lives, and we're trying to learn. We're still trying to learn. And so some of these are just coming from some of our stumblings and fumblings also in the Word of God and what it says to us. In these messages, there are repetitions and overlap. I understand. You'll probably hear me saying the same thing multiple times in different ways, or the same way even. I may say some things twice, three times, but I think that's okay. I do want to say this before I start today's message, is our value system when it comes to children. I told my wife early on when we were talking about raising family in our marriage, it may have been after I was converted, probably, I'm not sure. But the question was, you know, how many children? I said, I want to have 20 children. So I love children. I enjoy hearing when there's a new baby at church. I believe that to be God's heart. And God loves children. I think it may have overwhelmed my wife. I'm not sure. But I do love little ones. I think they are so precious. You know, how about you? Where does it find you in that value? We must not only value these precious bundles, we must see them as potential for the kingdom. That each one can become, and what each one can become. And it takes our help and direction, but value. You know, in the world, we see them children as a bother, as a liability. We see that. We hear that. You talk to people that speak that way. You've heard those words, those conversations. I have. I'm sure you have too. I trust we're not joining them. Do they keep us from doing what I want to do, my selfish life? Are they just, again, a liability to us? If they are, we will not have time for them. We'll end up mistreating them and mom for my own selfish pursuits. I have a beautiful verse in Psalm 128. You know the verse, but I'm going to turn there. You don't have to turn there. Verse 3. Verse 1 starts out, blessed is it. Okay, so this is 128 is after Psalm 127, the prosperity is from the Lord, except the Lord build a house. You know the psalm. They labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. We'll come back to that one later. But after that, we have Psalm 128, one who reveres God. Says, it starts out, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. So the one that fears God and walks in his ways is blessed. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. My understanding is that back in those days they would plant their vines, some of their vines, their grapevines, by the house, multiple purposes for multiple purposes. Some was to help with the structure. Sometimes it was to keep animals at bay, kind of a protection in between. But then obviously also for the fruit thereof, and some others I think that was listed that they would plant it right by the house. But here it is: thy wife shall be a fruitful vine. This vine is fruitful by the sides of thine house. Thy children are like olive plants around thy table. There's different things that you could draw from the olive plants. First of all, it's peace. Olive is when you see the olive leaves, it represents peace. So here we could have peace, the peaceful children around our table. In Israel, also, if you'd have a grove of olive trees, you would be pretty prosperous, viewed as pretty prosperous. I remember going through there down by Jericho. It was I've told this before. It was a dry and thirsty land. You didn't see much habitation. You didn't see much greenery. But here in the midst of all that, there's this olive grove. I'm sure it was irrigated, but it was nice and green and lush. But this olive grove was just, you know, they were planted in rows, nice rows. And so that meant something. And so here's a sign of certain wealth. Olive plants, having olive plants. And so here we are: thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants. Do we look around our table and view them as wealth to us? I think the Lord would have us to do that. Value. Wife, a fruitful vine, grapes, abundance, producing quality. Children, value, olive plants, lined and greened, irrigated. You know, we live in a land that we do. We live in a society that we do. May our children grow up in that setting, in that surrounding, with the things that they need, and be viewed as a lush olive plant. And it's us as parents to help with that. So we as children to our Father, we have received much. Us older ones, children of God, we have received much from our Father. We have received mercy, grace, love that's expressed in different ways from our Father. And He also calls us as fathers to relay this to our children. So just that, I just want to mention that. So this morning we're going to look at three main headings on parenting. First one being the preparation for parents, mom and dad, husband and wife, preparation. And the second one we're going to be looking at a little bit on parenting, parent-child relationships. And then the last one, just look at some practical things that come in drawn from our own experiences. Now we all know that at this point, what we're talking about this morning, from 0 to 5, there's not a lot from the child's side. And so there's not a lot to say there on that side. So most of it's going to be to us parents at this stage. So we'll try, most of this will be focused on us as parents. So we're going to focus on that this morning. But this is where it starts. This is really where it starts, when they are in our arms. Brother Francis is holding a wee little one. That's where it starts, when they're cuddled in your arms. It's not when they're even 8, 9, 10, 12 teens. That's not when it starts. Yes, but then as they get older, they do make their own choices. But we come back in many ways. Their choices are based upon what we gave them. So preparation for parents, first one, a sub underneath that is the first one we'll look at is faithfulness. Obviously, we must be born again Christians. John 3:7, marvel not that I say unto you, must be born again, faithfully following the Lord Jesus, display faithfulness in character and duty. You know, in God's design of marriage, we have some time before little ones come. You know, there's a wedding, there's marriage, and there's usually a little bit of time spaced before the first one comes. And when you think about it, that's beautiful in God's design. You have an opportunity as where two become one, where there's relationships built. There's that foundation. They have opportunity for a foundation to be built before any little ones even come in the picture. And it's just, when you think about how God designed it, it's just beautiful. There's some time before that. This is a great time for preparation for couples to get established, focus on the Lord and each other, talk about their dreams, their visions, their passions, children, family. Also during this time is a time you can establish schedules, routine. So if and when there are children, they come into where there's a form of direction established already. There's some kind of a structure established already. And so when the children come, they just come in what's already been established. You know, when you're faithfully spending your own time with the Lord and each other, you're faithful in holding to what you say and do. This is very important, preparation for faithfulness. Say what you mean. Mean what you say and hold to it. Nothing hidden. Don't practice this in your life where there's things where you start hiding things. I would say even in a congregation where us as parents, you know, where there's a practice of hiding things and how can I say it? If we bring our children up, okay, so don't tell, make sure you don't tell anyone. If we bring our children up under that, I don't think it'll be good. Where everything is just open. In other words, be a man of your own. Well, I'm talking about integrity here, under faithfulness also. You know, say what you mean. Sometimes even in business, maybe it's more pronounced where you have someone that tells you that I'm going to do this and this, or I'll be there at such and such a date. And you already know from past experience that you can't really take what that person says because really doesn't abide by that. And there's things that come up and understand, but then there's others that will give you, and I'm not here, I'm not this way, where they give you a time, they give you an ETA, and they're, You can know that the minute that that is on there, he's pulling in the driveway. I don't know how he does it, but he's like, I'm there. I'm going to be there at such and such a time, and you can set your clock on it. You can watch your clock and say, okay, you better be ready for him at this minute, because that's when he pulls in. And that's what it is. So I'm not there either. But I just encourage us, if we say something, if we give a word to something, I think it'd be good to try to hold to it. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just encouraging us in that. When we say something, do all in our power to do it. This is a foundational character trait in raising children. We know that if we tell our children something and it doesn't work out, and their little hearts are broken. If we tell them something, we should try to make so it happens. And we understand, and we can also teach them to understand that sometimes there's things that come up that are out of our control that make so it doesn't happen, whatever it was that we were going to do. And so there's that side too, just to be fair. But let's not start making promises that we're not sure that we'll be able to that we'll not be able to formulate. This is discouraging for children, also us who are training them. You know, if there's too much of that, it can be discouraging to where the children will not start believing that that we said is actually going to happen. The Bible also calls us to be blameless. You can read Philippians 2. Now, I missed the key scripture here that I was going to read right at the beginning, and I'm going to go back there, and you all know where it's at. It's in Deuteronomy 6 there. My, how could I forget this one? Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. I'll go back and catch that up there. I'm sorry. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments in which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. To us as parents, fathers probably specifically, is this instruction given. And now, 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently, here's our word, unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Your whole manner of life, the whole conversation speaks. And thou shalt teach them diligently. And here we have the Webster's definition of diligently. With steady application and care, not carelessly, to inculcate, if I'm saying it right, has that word in the Strong's definition. So that word, inculcate, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right or not. I didn't look on the pronunciation, sorry. But it is to drive, okay, so this is under the heading of diligently, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, you know, when you're sitting down, rising up, lying down, by the way, wherever you are, have teachable opportunities. It says to drive or force upon, to urge on the mind, to impress by frequent admonitions. You know, sometimes you feel like a broken record, right? Well, broken record, floppy disk. We're past the record stage. We're on flash drive mode now, right? But I still remember in school we had the records. And I remember when the record wasn't working right, it would skip and repeat. It would repeat. It would be skipping its, what do you call them things? I don't know what you call them. Help me out, them little grooves. It would just come back on the same one just and repeat itself and repeat itself. And sometimes we call it a broken record. And sometimes you feel that way, like we're not getting through and repeating ourselves when it comes to raising children. But it's that way. It's that to train them to diligently, what did it say? Also teach them diligently. And it's just a little bit that way where you drive or force, you impress by frequent admonitions. You repeat, you iterate and reiterate. And it's okay. That's where we're at. Because we have a vision. We have a goal in mind. We're pressing towards something. It doesn't happen all in one day. Okay. Faithfulness. Blameless. Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Bible calls us to be blameless and harmless. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So it calls, there's a calling to us. By God's divine nature, His Holy Spirit and grace in our lives, we have all that we need to be faithful, to be blameless. Now, we understand that we are skimming over some of this, as you know, your Bible. But just learn to live faithfully, by faith, trusting God. Okay, also under parenting, preparation for parents, is a discipline. It's another preparation. Not living a selfish life. You know, if we refuse to grow up and are more interested in business, hobbies, fishing, hunting, pursuits, whatever we have that we are going after, and I don't know what ladies have here in this, you fill in the blank, but if we refuse to grow up from whatever that is, we will be ill-prepared to raise children. We're talking in the context of raising a godly seed for the glory of God. If we cannot live a disciplined life without children, it will not all of a sudden switch when we do have children. We know what people believe in a measure by how they live. Our children are no different. They will pick up what we believe, us as parents, regardless what we say, they'll get it. How? Okay, when I say there's a lot of yous here, okay? When I say you, I'm included in that you, okay? So understand that. How you and your wife treat each other. Your children will pick this up. If you bicker, they will bicker. If you whine, you know, they will whine. If you pout, you know, whatever you do, you will probably find traces of it in them. And you're teaching them discipline. And so we have to be leading out in this. We won't tell them one thing and do otherwise. This will never bring good fruit. We know that. You know that. Just reminding us. Another one we want to look at under the heading of preparation is coming together as husband and wife in all things. You will have to come together in views, opinions, visions, pursuits, responsibilities, etc. A unified couple, a foundation. Remember, we're starting a foundation before even children come on the scene. It will not work if you are pulling in different directions in our home. 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 3, 7. I don't have it there, but you know the verse. It says, you know, talks about dwelling them according to knowledge of each other. There's a coming together, you know, where you talk about things. If there's a division in your home, your children will probably be the first to pick it up. They will know when dad says yes and mom says no, or vice versa on the same subject. It doesn't take them long to figure that out. And they'll know which one to go to get what they want. They'll figure that out real quick. They know where our lines are. If one line is at a different place than the other, they'll figure that stuff out. And so it's just well, if the house is not divided, that there's a coming together in what we want, what we're going after, what we're trying to do together. So there's a one voice coming from us as a couple. So this is just some preparation thoughts for you to consider. So please do your home a favor and come to a common ground on your teachings. Another one here is I just simply have it down as the same page in correction. Now, that could be under the heading of coming together too, but I think this is important enough to have its own heading. Husband and wife, dad and mom, like I said, this is down the same vein as the last one, but this one is important enough. I don't know if this is more important than the others, but when it comes to parenting young children, we should do ourselves and the children a favor here and decide how this is going to look like when it comes to correction. This brings security to a situation, to a home. Remember, we're trying to establish a vision for parenting, some preparation to bring clarity. If there's something that takes place, a child errs, and mom and dad haven't talked about, you know, how this should look like, how corrections should look like, and right in the middle of it all, you know, maybe dad's over aggressive and he starts taking the child and starts take him to the office or the room, wherever, and the wife or mother realizes what's going on and think this looks pretty harsh and then automatically there's a conflicting message given to the child. Where maybe it's vice versa even, but one of them says that's too hard. The other one says it's hard, not hard enough. This needs to be a disciplinary correction here, and the other ones think, well, that wasn't that harsh. It wasn't harsh enough to deserve that. You know, try to alleviate that conflicting message in front of your child. Talk about it before. Okay, if this happens, if he does this here, and it's not fun to talk about, if your child lies to you, what's going to be your response? What do you think? What should our response be? Wife and husband, you talk about these. What should our response be? What if they do this here? What should our response be? And so when you're right in the middle of it, you know, emotions go one way or the other. And so there's not that tension right in front of your child, because that can really give a conflicting message there. But we're trying together become one on the same page, and especially in correction, and I would say all things, but especially in this one. Coming together now. Okay, so maybe we're older here this morning. And we miss that window of time, window of opportunity, and we're coming in a little bit later. Just because you may not have started out right, we can still have to go after the gold. You know, we'll have to get a hold of God. And don't feel like it's too late. View your situation before God is redeemable. You know, and that would reflect on Dad and Mom getting serious about following God, and beautiful things can happen out of that. So that's on just encouraging togetherness on all things. So on this, under the second one here, we have parenting or a parent-child relationship. First one under that is parenting. Webster's defines it this way, says the rearing of children, the care, love, and guidance given by parents. That's pretty special. An opportunity for us as parents to be that. God has designed this so beautifully. Man and woman come together and multiplication comes out of that. And he has, imagine, he has entrusted us, fallen humanity, to prepare an eternal soul for his glory and for his kingdom. Imagine. I don't know about you all, are such needy creatures. He has entrusted us, humanity, with directing of an eternal soul. With all this, he has given us all the means too, the enablement to do this. His wisdom, his spirit, his word, his grace, his love, the list can go on. God has not left us without when it comes to parenting children. Fathers, the first picture your child has of God is of you. What does it look like? Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It's very important that we have our child's heart. It's more important that our child has our heart. And how we view our children will affect some of this. Psalms 127, 3-5. Lo, children are an heritage. They are an inheritance of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his payment, reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Remember, olive plants round about the table. Murmur not, saith an Arab to his friend, because thy family is large. Know that it is for their sakes that God feeds thee. He who gave them will feed them. That's a humbling thought. You know, we can think we are someone. But those children, God's eye is on them too, probably more than us. God makes much of children. I think we should too. Remember, we're raising eternal souls with the potential to affect generations of souls. We have to get hold of a vision way beyond our time here. And it is not going to happen sitting around going after our own things. We must put our hand to the plow when it comes to parenting, care, guide, and live love. This is constant. It's that Deuteronomy 6 constantly. Teaching them diligently, repeating, broken record. And I trust that we don't get this, what I mean by a broken record, that we don't get this feeling, oh, I just feel like a broken record. No, but it's the repetition. You say it again. And it's okay to say it again. And not in a way where I've told you 10 times, you know, that type of thing, but you say it again. you still say it again. When do you say it? It's when you're sitting. It's when you're walking by the way. It's when you're working together. It's when you're doing things together. It's when you're coming, going, working, sitting, around the table. Opportunities you have, there's just constant opportunities to put in and to give instruction. And it's not just that. I mean, make it sound like it's just always instruction, lay down the law, you know. It's not that. It's building relationships. And out of building relationships with your children, it's then is opportunities to talk about the serious things of life. And maybe not. It may be not as much when they're, you know, that young. But as they start getting 3, 4, or 5, you'll be able to touch on some bigger things. And when we don't give up, someone mentioned that this morning, made me think of it. I forget the phrase that was spoken. Endures. Who you don't give up, there will be fruit from that. Another one under parent-child relationship, I would say, don't woo over your children. We want a Christ-focused home, not a child-focused home. Please let them know that you love them, but don't drool over them to where they can't do anything wrong. This is not good for them. You know, it's hard to transition from baby stage to start, okay, there's antics that they do when they're young. 0 to 1, you know, they start talking. And when they start talking, you give them things to say and repeat after you. And it's really cute. It's really cute. You know, even maybe up to 2, I don't know. We're kind of out of that stage. Sometimes forget where the age breakup is. But then when they start going older, those cute antics become not looking as cute anymore. And so then you that's part of training. So be careful on how much of that we indulge our young ones in, because it does start going to their heads and it's not good for them. So the transition from baby stage to talking to walking, you know, the whole thing, everyone is oohing and aahing over all their little antics. And just again, be careful as they get older. They'll have to know that the world does not circle around them. With all this focus on children and child raising, again, be careful that we don't make it child-focused home. Yes, they are loved and cared for and guided. And, you know, husband and wife, you were the ones that were drawn together initially. It was your love that brought you together for each other, obviously for God and for each other. But you were, before any children were there, it was just you two that were drawn together. You must keep this communication line open. And we've already said, and at the first hearing of it, it might seem a little hard, but we've told our children, you know, we love you, but before you were, it was Mom and I, and when you all leave, it'll just be Mom and I. And so during the life of it, it'll be Mom and I too. And so make opportunities for just Mom and I to do things together. And the children must be okay with that, but you bring them up in that kind of a communication setting where that line is open, where you and your wife spend time together as you can. And it's, if you have a line of children that are young, there's a lot of hands-on, so it's maybe a little bit more difficult in the different windows of time that you have that. But cultivate that anyway. I say this, you know, and at the same time, I'll say, don't neglect your children. When dad and mom love each other, and they show that, this enhances all of your relationships. It brings peace and security in the home and in all the family. It just does. Okay, another one thing we want to look at here on parenting on relationships with children is be intentional. Seek relationships with your children in good times and be specific to them. All your children are very unique. And it's a blessing when they start growing up and you start seeing their strong points. It's a blessing when you see their little giftings. This one is strong in this way, and this the other one, next one, has maybe this way. And it's just unique to see each one grow up specifically and specially. But seek a relationship with each one. And there might be something personal to each one that is specific to that one. Also, let mom be mom to the child. They need that when they're a young baby. You are dad, be dad. Have your own little antics you do with them that is only you. You know, if somebody else does them, you know, it's okay, but there's little things that it's just you, that just you do to them. And, you know, the maybe some of the older children start trying to mimic that, but it doesn't come out just the same as when dad does it. And so have those things. Have your little antics. You do it. That is only you. Start after, what's the purpose of this? This is winning the child's heart and confidence when he or she is a baby in the bed with their feet sticking up and kicking. You go after that little heart. Be intentional about teaching respect. Teach this to your children, how to be respectful. And, you know, it's an ongoing thing. It's something that I still need. And I still, but it's come up different times in our home. You know, we have mealtime, it can be a bit chaotic. You wonder if anyone's listening. Everybody's talking at the same time. You wonder who's actually listening. But it's okay. It's good. It's good. But then when that happens, sometimes there's a running over each other. And so, and even though we encourage that openness and interaction and talking, that's also a place where you could teach respect. Okay, wait. Let him finish. And then you can talk, you know, kind of take turns somewhat here, have a little organization in the chaos. But that's where you can teach respect for each other, and hopefully that can reach into other areas in when you go out when they get older. Value, to be able to value each other enough to hear what they have to say. You say, what does this have to do with parenting? We are forming close relationships so that when there is a need, we can correct it because they think highly of you. That's when we have the greatest opportunity, is when they are in that age bracket. That's when they think the most of you. Dad, parents can't do anything wrong. They're their heroes. They're the big people in their life. They mean so much to them. And you have such opportunity to build on that foundation. And so you carry that all the way through there as they start growing up. You carry that relationship. And then when there is a need to speak into their lives, that the door is already open. There's opportunity for that already. Here's a baby story. Talk with a young man just there by the curtain, one men's meeting. They just had their first little one. It's not from someone here. Had known him from Bible school, and we've talked different times. And he was all distraught. I don't know how old his baby was, maybe 3, 6 months. He was under a year anyway. And he was all distraught. He was so looking forward to having this first child. But when it happened, the little baby, as much as his daddy loved him, when he came near, he just cried. The baby just cried. He says, "What? Why? Why did he just cry? I want to have a relationship with him. And when I come near, he just cries." And it was really hard for the young father. You know, he was wondering, what am I doing wrong? If you're in a situation like that, don't fret. The baby's just doing what it wants mom. It wants mom. In those first years, first months, it just wants mom. And you must be okay with that. And actually encourage that. It wants mom. When there's a need, when there's a crying, there's probably no one that's going to be able to settle them down like mom. And so let mom be mom. That baby needs his mother. But again, you know, you cultivate. You know, if he starts crying when you come near, maybe next time not as much, you do something nice and just let's remove yourself. And then next time you try again, you try to build that relationship. You try to come together and just keep on going. It's no surprise that little one cries when he comes near, because he knows mom. Give attention. Have your special moments every day. Take time. Get to know your child. A lot of times in the evening is when our time was, when that little one is kicking on the bed. Take time and get to know your child closely. This is really important, even when they're that young, even when they're just months old. Watch your child's antics. You know, you start to learn to know your child when he's hungry, when he's sleepy, when he's just whining. Or even, we had one that was, I'm thinking it was he or she, I'm not sure which one it was even. Must have not made too much of an impact, but it was like, I may be getting ahead of myself. We'll leave that one. We'll come back to that one. But learn to watch your child's antics and learn to know them. If there's correction needed, so that you're not guessing. So you're not just shooting in the dark, because if you do a correction and it's not, maybe you've maybe misread it, it could be more devastating than helpful. So Ephesians 6 would say, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now using that principle, the nurturing part of bringing them up, correction, instruction, and training. Shower those little ones. Shower those little ones with love, care, and sometimes it's correction and discipline, which brings us to our next subject under parenting, correction versus discipline. Both or either in love. Correction does not always take discipline. And discipline is not always correcting. Or discipline doesn't always correct if it's done improperly. But always in discipline, always have mind of correction. If there is discipline needed, when I use the word discipline, it's not even always just spanking. But correction is in mind when there is that. Remember, we have a vision, an eternal vision that goes beyond this generation. We are forming, we're trying to shape an eternal soul that will be fit for the holy kingdom of God. That's what we're aiming for. Oh my. Okay. I'll try to do what I can here in the time that's left here. Okay, as you keep after that heart, your correction discipline will lessen because you're correcting a little at a time. I always have this wastebasket story for our children. I refuse to put our wastebasket in a hidden place. For me, it was always a teaching opportunity. You know, when they start walking, they start getting into drawers and pulling the wastebaskets down and you know how it is. And I refuse to put that wastebasket somewhere where it was a teaching opportunity for us. And when they pull that thing down, that's when you get to work, Dad. and to where they can come to a place where they know that wastebasket is a no-no. You don't pull the wastebasket down and dump everything out. And so the wastebasket always stayed where the wastebasket was. And so just an example there for that. That's what we did. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening or discipline of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Proverbs 22:15 says it this way, my foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far away. Discipline is when the child will not take instruction. And this is probably a more severe correction or chastening, if you will. And it's, as one writer termed it, punishment for the purpose of reclaiming. So you're shaping a soul. You're reclaiming that ground that may have not been had or been lost. And so you're reclaiming it. There's a purpose for this. This is, again, under the heading of correction, maybe a more severe case of correction, but that's what it is. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. I'm going to start giving you these verses. Proverbs 23:13 we could read. What spirit are you when you try to fix it? What spirit are you when you're trying to fix your child? And I'm not saying, what I mean is correcting your child. If there's an anger coming out when we're trying to correct our children, it probably won't come out quite right. Love without reproof, referencing verse 7 in Hebrews 12. Love without reproof is not genuine. It's a Jewish maximum. Love without reproof is not genuine. Think about it. If we don't have some discipline or a correction in our home, the question may come to us, according to Hebrews, whether we love that child or if he is actually fatherless. Stay on the line, be consistent, withhold not correction. Make some adjustments. Sometimes it's a little, sometimes it takes a greater length. There are different forms of discipline / correction. Sometimes just a word of correction is needed. Sometimes something you do is needed. And sometimes a spanking is helpful in prayer. And this brings us to our third and last heading. So just some practical things. We'll run through these. We'll try to rapidly run through these. I fear some of you will take these things as a 10-step program. Your children are not a project. A hobby or project you leave and come back to from time to time. Please, your children are worth more than that. God placed these responsibilities on us to teach and to train, to instruct and to care for these precious souls. So these next few things could so quickly be taken out of context, but for a little direction. From baby to 5 years old, these are very careful molding and shaping times of their lives. But all these things that we're going to be looking at are not going to mean anything, or it's not going to mean anything. I don't know how to say it. How can I say it? If the first part is not in place, just some practical preparation in parenting and a vision for God and His kingdom. If those things aren't in a place as individuals under God, then some of these other things aren't going to be in the right context. I'll say it that way. So baby, take care of it. Help each other, feed, hold, rock, love. Yes, both change diapers. This is a hands-on love. Yes, dads, it's okay, change diapers. They are so dependent. Some people have gotten into scheduling baby things. We've not ventured into that. We've seen actually some detrimental causes from that. So, carefulness. The baby is designed that if they have a need, it's to cry. That's their only means of telling you what's wrong. And to shut that off too much, you are shutting off their means of communication to you. Just be careful. Left to themselves, they will die physically. Then think of this in a spiritual sense too, then, as they grow older. Play the Word of God to them at bedtime, even if they can't, maybe as they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe a little bit older than that baby's clear baby stage. But we've even still now, some of them still play the Word of God and go to sleep playing Alexander Scorby. That's been a, we feel like that's been a blessing. They fall asleep listening to the Bible. Parenting is more than just discipline. Positive input. You know, think of positive input. Not always correcting either, but walking besides, directing. You know, this is the way, walk in it. Come along. Coming back to what I was referencing early, 6 months we had one child that showed some defiance, in which I took two of my fingers and did a sharp tap on his bare legs. It didn't hurt him, but it got his attention enough for him to realize that he did wrong. But this is going back to understanding your child. You don't do that unless you're pretty sure that he's just being defiant. And you're surprised how smart they are and how much they can understand and how much they get at a very young age. Your young babies learn fast, and they're very smart. Don't underestimate them. Again, be careful. The same action misused can make them fear you. Go after their will. Moms, don't tell Johnny, wait until Dad comes home. You can help with that too. Yes, maybe there's some things that need to be addressed when Dad comes home, but don't say, you wait until Dad comes home. So he has the rest of the time from that time on till Dad comes home to kind of be in fear. And so when Dad comes home, he's not even looking forward to when Dad comes home because he's probably going to get it. And that's not good on Dad either. He has come home too. He wants to see his children, his family, and then he has this to deal with right when he gets home. Yes, the bigger share lands on us as dads. But don't make him dread the time Dad comes home. That should be a happy homecoming. It should be a happy reunion. Dad and Mom, make much of the other to your children. My wife has done very well with this, so much so that I don't deserve it. Help them write notes to the other. I have my front of my desk, if you take a picture of it right now, and I'm not very organized, it's just plastered with notes. They've learned to bless Daddy in this way. Dad, you figure out ways to return the blessing towards your wife through your children. We've not let our children listen to much dramatized stories. A lot of those stories have rebellion, war scenes, or love stories in them. Some say it's like a movie without the pictures, except your own imagination makes the pictures. And we can tell when they do that there seems like there's a spirit that goes with it. Be mindful of that. Just be careful. Teach them to sit still in devotional time at home and don't bring all your training at church. Don't let your children run wild at home and or at church. Sometimes surprising, we think you have accomplished at home until you leave, and it seems like some of those things are forgotten. So, but if there's a need for it, don't be ashamed of it. Still do what's right. Tearing books, don't allow it. Respect material, whether at home or abroad. Don't holler after your child. I like to intentionally call one of my children, specifically to test them. I've done that during the years. when they were playing with something, even playing with their nice little toys, and I would call them specifically and intentionally to see their response, to practice coming when they're called one time. I'd encourage that. If you mean for them to obey only after the third or fourth time, you are training them that way. Don't let your child be defiant towards you or anyone else, for that matter. And don't let them to do that without any type of correction. You are teaching that it is okay. Again, this is for your children, young children, 4 or 5 years old, and we're training them as they grow up. They should be expected to obey immediately without having to explain everything before they respond. You can share with them as they're older, as they get older and able to understand more. In the discipline area, we had a CLE. I think it was CLE had a kind of a chart. If the if and then chart. If the transgression, then there is a verse that was applicable, and then the form of correction or discipline. For example, lying. You know, we had Proverbs, lying lips. And lying was probably one of the harder forms of discipline in our home. And so when you have that listing there, you think of different errors or transgressions and look up a verse that's applicable to it, and then you and your wife get together on what would be the correction of it. So it's there on the chart. It was there on our schoolroom for, I don't think it's there anymore, but during those, when our oldest children were school age and younger, that was there. So if there's an error, they already knew they transgressed. So, and it was actually helped us to be consistent as parents, to be consistent with the discipline. Say, well, you let him get by with her, you know, that type of thing. Well, it's more consistent. They already understood what the discipline was or the correction was when they erred and said, look, you know, you sit him down and see this is what you did. What does the chart say? That, you know, it helped us to stay on track too. Just clarity with you and the children helps. Again, it's not all correction and discipline. It's being proactive. We have enjoyed our family, our children. Read stories together in evenings, Dad read, holding the children. You know, supper, breakfast, over the fire together. We sing together, family devotions together, teach the Bible. Get a burden. It's an opportunity for us as fathers to preach to our children. Bible memorization also plays into that. And we also have our personal family jokes that don't make sense to anyone else sometimes. There are teachable moments before something comes an issue. These are all those times are teachable moments before something becomes an issue. And so it's not like the only time when Dad is around is when there's an issue. Let not that be the case in your home. Eat meals together. Opportunity to just be together. It's a good family time. Teach manners. You have opportunity to teach manners at the table or elsewhere. Respect, courtesy, good reading material. Invest in their lives. During story time and meal time and devotion time, we sit still. We also give them responsibilities. I think every young son, even daughter, I think they all should have an opportunity to care for some goats. So get some goats if you need some goats to take care of. Winter time, when the water buckets are froze, it builds character. You know, animals still need fed. Regular industry is the parent of sobriety. There's a quote there. Regular industry is the parent of sobriety. Another one, when parents are wanting in authority, children are wanting in duty, no purpose. We as parents, especially fathers, if we have to remind the children that, you know, remember, I'm the boss, there might be something wrong with that picture and how you're leading your home. Don't blame anyone else if things are not going right. God will hold us responsible. We are the responsible party before God. There's so much that could be said. Recap. So much things that got missed. So you fill in the blanks. Yet a vision. God wants His name declared and exemplified in every generation. So we, as we train in our children, we train them up purposefully for God. We have an opportunity to invest in their lives for the kingdom and the glory of God. So that in turn, that they have the equipment and the potential to do the same for their generation, to serve it in that way. And so there's not a gap. There's faith till when He comes again. The decisions in life, choices, are all channeled through God's Word. Young children that are brought up knowing about God, you know, when you point up at the moon and stars in the evening, especially this little age, as soon as they start talking, where they can just barely talk, you know, you come home and the moon is out, the stars are out. You ask little Johnny, he can barely talk, who made them? Jesus. You point him back to the Creator. Families that display the glory of God, not just on the outside, but our whole lives speak of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word of truth. May it be deeply rooted in our hearts and settle there as we think the glory and the potential that we have. Raising a godly seed for your purpose. Lord, to be able to have a vision for eternity, from generation following generation, rising up to the next generation, and to be able to teach them in such a way that they are able to teach others also, as we have in your word. Father, bless our time together here. Pray that you would multiply these few nuggets here for your honor and praise and majesty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.